From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, September 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. For more than 100 years, bird hatcheries and farmers across the country have used the U.S. Postal Service to ship newborn birds. A Midwest newsroom investigation found shipment delays have led to many birds dying in transit.
Unfortunately, when I got home, we knew what the situation was. A silent box is a dead box.
That story ahead after the news on The Gateway. A St. Louis judge has authorized a recount to be completed today in the race for sheriff in the city. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman explores the likelihood that the effort will be successful.
Incumbent Sheriff Vernon Betts lost to a primary challenger by 256 votes. Under state law, he has the right to ask for a recount because the margin was less than 1%. The city's last recount came in 2020 in a race for Democratic committeewoman. The results did not change after officials reviewed the ballots. That's not uncommon, says David Kimball. He is a professor of political science at the University of Missouri-St. Louis.
The methods we have for counting the ballots the first time are very reliable.
A report by a group that advocates for ranked choice voting found that there were 36 recounts in nearly 7,000 statewide elections between 2000 and 2023. The results changed in just three of those. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A casino proposal will appear on voters' general election ballots in Missouri, a judge ruled Friday. That's after earlier last month, a campaign to bring a gambling casino to the Lake of the Ozarks tourism area sued Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. That suit came after Ashcroft determined the campaign didn't have enough signatures from eligible voters. But on Friday, a Cole County judge found the campaign did collect enough signatures in six of Missouri's eight congressional districts, qualifying for the November 5th ballot. He ordered Ashcroft's office to certify the initiative petition for local election authorities. Missouri's constitution currently allows casinos only on the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. The November petition asks voters to authorize one casino on the Osage River, which feeds into the Lake of the Ozarks. A multi-billion dollar mixed-use development will soon take the place of Chesterfield Mall, which officially closed over the weekend. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports.
The mall had seen declining foot traffic for years, and redevelopers saw an opportunity to do something that resembles a downtown with the 117-acre site. Now the Steinberg Group is moving forward with a $2 billion plan to build around 2,700 apartments, plus space for retail, restaurants, offices, and other uses. Tim Lowe is the group's senior vice president of development.
In our market, we don't really have living opportunities for people who might be empty nesters or don't want to own a single family home anymore and are looking for other alternatives, but they don't want just a suburban apartment complex.
Lowe says demolition begins in October, and the first phase of 1,000 apartments could be completed by 2028 or 2029. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Wainwright State Office Building in downtown St. Louis sold last week to an undisclosed buyer in an $8.25 million bid, according to a government auction website. The Missouri Board of Public Buildings approved to sell the more than 234,000-square-foot building on July 2nd. It was home to several state agency offices. Reports from the St. Louis Business Journal stated that 400 employees will be relocated to a building in St. Louis County. The Wainwright Building sits at 111 North 7th Street. It was built in 1891 and is considered to be one of the first skyscrapers. It's also listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Two exhibits that explore St. Louis's connection to slavery will be on display beginning today at the Civil Courts Law Library in downtown St. Louis. Visitors can also learn about enslaved Black Missourians and how they fought for their freedom in the city courts. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The Ulysses S. Grant Historic Home and the Missouri State Archives are displaying the Slavery in St. Louis and Freedom Suits exhibits. There were over 300 lawsuits filed in St. Louis during the early to mid-1800s by free Black people who were held illegally as slaves. People can view three of those cases and other original documents. Bill Glenkler is an archivist with the state. He says the cases highlight the legal avenues enslaved people used against their slaveholders.
There's been a lot of ink spilled on Dred Scott decision. I wanted ones nobody had ever really talked about to just show these were the actual human beings trying to gain their freedom.
Glenkler says each case had a different legal reason for fighting for freedom. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
When someone wants to add chicks to their backyard farm or populate a larger operation, they often order from hatcheries. For the past 100 years, those hatcheries have used the U.S. Postal Service to ship live baby birds around the country. Increasingly, though, customers and suppliers say slow deliveries are causing the birds to arrive dead. The Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri investigates.
It's an early morning in July at the St. Charles County Fair in Missouri. No rides are running, and frozen lemonade stands aren't open yet. But one corner of the fairground is very active. Children and teenagers are preparing their animals for the livestock show. Evie Golson's pride and joy is a white, broad-breasted turkey.
She's not too big. She's like just the right age, so she's able to still like walk around well and everything, and I can still pick her up. So it's perfect.
Showing animals in the 4-H competition at the county fair is a tradition for 18-year-old Evie and her family. But the path to this year's competition was a bit morbid.
Like, you have to see which ones are like stiff and which ones are still like floppy, sort of.
Evie's talking about the dead birds that arrived at the Golson's home in the mail last March. The Golsons ordered 10 baby turkeys, or poults, from an Ohio hatchery. As Evie's mother, Amy Golson, tracked the shipment online, it quickly became clear something had gone wrong. She told us about it on the phone before we met at the fair.
So I was going to be able to watch these babies digitally. And they went to the Cleveland distribution warehouse something, and they stayed there. They just stayed there.
Golson says she knew what to expect after the box labeled live birds showed up on her doorstep 3 days late.
Unfortunately, when I got home, we knew what the situation was. A silent box is a dead box.
This was the second time the Golsons got a shipment of birds through the Postal Service with most or all the birds inside dead. The turkey Evie is showing at the fair is part of a replacement batch sent by the hatchery. There are rules in place to make sure birds shipped by the U.S. Postal Service arrive alive. For one, shippers have to use Priority Mail Express or Priority Mail Services, which meet specific timing standards. In August 2020, more than 4,800 chicks died in a single Postal Service shipment to a Maine customer. The Midwest Newsroom interviewed hatcheries, breeders, and backyard farmers. Their stories all point to Postal Service delays and other mishaps causing birds to die in transit. Kelly Warren owns Cocktown Funky Orpingtons in North Carolina, where she breeds Orpington chickens, which are popular as showbirds. Warren estimates she's lost a third of the birds she shipped this year, sometimes leaving her to issue refunds.
The one box last week arrived 3 days late. The whole box was dead. All I could do was get my shipping costs back. The rest of it was out of pocket lost.
In a statement, the U.S. Postal Service said it has procedures for the safe shipment of live animals, and when properly packaged and labeled, live parcels get special handling. The Postal Service said it doesn't track the total number of animals that die while in transit, so it's hard to know how widespread the problem is. An interview request was declined. Postal Service delays have become more persistent in the years following the pandemic. In 2021, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced a 10-year plan to end billions of dollars a year in losses. Delivery slowdowns are central to the plan. The latest cost savings plan announced in August seeks to overhaul Postal Service logistics, a move DeJoy said could increase slowdowns in mail deliveries, especially in rural areas where deliveries could take an additional 12 to 24 hours.
It's a huge management problem.
That's Congressman Sam Graves of Missouri. He says complaints about mail delays are a top concern for his constituents in the northern third of the state, which is largely rural.
The other members of Congress all over the country are getting the same sort of complaints. So it is something that the government should do and should do well. And right now, it's not being done well at all.
Graves and two other lawmakers recently introduced the Pony Up Act. It would offer some consumer protections for mail delays. As for the practice of shipping baby birds, United Poultry Concerns and many other groups have called for the end of the longstanding tradition. For the Golsons, the replacement shipment of 10 baby turkeys included a blue ribbon winner. Amy Golson says the family's days of ordering birds through the mail may be coming to an end.
This is my daughter's last year showing in 4-H. We will definitely cut back when we don't have kids in 4-H.
For now, the Golson's younger child doesn't plan to show, but Amy Golson says she's grateful the replacement shipment made it in time for Evie this year. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Kayvon Mansouri.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration between NPR and public radio stations in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.